chapter 12 again tonight. We're going to wrap up chapter 12 after having the... I really enjoyed the passage last week, and this week is kind of... there's similarities, of course, and there's things that tie in for sure. We're continuing through really looking at the tribulation, and there is an aspect of the tribulation that we see tonight that I'm not sure we focus a whole lot on as much. I guess in my reading of and studying of chapter 12 especially, beginning to grasp a little bit more about the tribulation period and really the attack on Israel in the tribulation period. I guess I've always grown up hearing about the attack on Christians. And it's not to say that it's not an attack on Christians, but the focus and the focal point of Satan is heavily on Israel in the tribulation. And we see that in this passage tonight. Start in verse 16. We looked at it last week. Let's see here. Hang on a sec. No, starting in verse number 12. Sorry, I wrote down the wrong verse again. I'm making a bad habit of that. Yeah, verse number 12. It says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." And then it gives this warning, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." So we have this warning here of the rage of Satan. The fact that he has come to the realization that he cannot touch Christ, he cannot influence Christ, he cannot bargain with Christ, and he has been cast out into the earth. And so if he cannot go after Christ, he's going to go after what we always refer to as the children of God, what is referred to here in Revelation 12 as the woman that travaileth, Israel. And so Satan has this understanding, my time is short, I have just a little bit of time left. And so I'm going to go wreak havoc, I'm going to go cause chaos, and the best way to do that is to go after Israel. And so we're going to look at that tonight, this woe to the earth. The woe is for more than just Israel, but I think we'll see a drawing to this persecution of Israel in the tribulation period. Let's pray, and then we'll look at the rest of the verses in the chapter. Lord, help us to understand, help us to see, help us to learn, and then help us to apply into our life what is necessary to be what you want us to be. So tonight as we look into these verses, Lord, I pray that we would understand them with clarity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here this wrath of Satan that is going to pour down on the earth. Verse number 13 tells us that that's verse number 12, verse number 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." So the timing of this is after he is cast out. We looked at that last week. If you missed it, it should be, I think, on the recording and available to you. If I didn't post it, I can. I think I have it. We talked about that last week and the fight with Michael and the angels and Satan. And Satan and his angels cast out into the earth. And now this really spurs on the tribulation period and especially the assault that goes on during this time. Verse number 14, the Bible says, "And the woman," which remember as we looked at this back in the earlier parts of chapter 12, as a representation of Israel. And it says, "And the woman, were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and half a time from the face of the serpent." We see this this in a sense fleeing back into the wilderness. Now, when you read your Old Testament, you see Israel going into the wilderness, and we see them in doing this, especially out of Egypt, where they're delivered out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea. The Red Sea splits. They cross over, and then they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And so this is not something that is new to the nation of Israel. And it's intriguing here because I believe that we'll see the Gentiles are going to help. Now, we're going to see God obviously be the biggest help to Israel, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But as the persecution comes down on Israel and they begin to flee, we will see Gentiles helping. Well, how do we know that? Turn with me, if you will. We're going to come right back to Revelation 12. But Matthew chapter 25. Christ talking, speaking here in Matthew 25. And look in verse number 31. Matthew 25, verse 31 through verse 46. So stay with me. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the King say unto him, say unto them, on His right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him." These are the people who are on the right that he's separated out. They're going to answer him saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee?" And the King shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." We have the picture here of the end times, and we see this conversation that is had with those who have been separated out, where he's separated the sheep from the goats. And he says unto them, you know, "You have all done these things for me. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink," and so on and so forth. And they say, "When? We never saw you sick. We never saw you hungry. We never saw you thirsty. When did we do these things?" And he says, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." I believe that we are taught throughout Scripture, those who treat God's people good, there's reward for that. I believe that we see in Scripture as well, those who treat God's people good receive favor from God. Not necessarily salvation, that's a whole other topic, but if your lost boss, just as an example, if your lost boss treats you well specifically because of your faith, I believe God rewards that in some way, shape, or form. How? I can't answer that, I don't know. But God has always been good to those who are good to Him and His people. And I believe that when Israel is fleeing here in the tribulation period, there will be Gentiles who will be receiving, feeding those who are hungry, tending to those who are sick, giving drink to those who are thirsty, clothes to those who need clothing. And I believe there's a reward for that when it's all said and done as well as earlier in history as well, but also during this time. Back in Revelation chapter 12, we see another intriguing thing here that's given to us in verse 14. It says that the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. Those that try to modernize Scripture, and listen, the Scripture is relevant in the modern day, but those who try to modernize Scripture oftentimes will say, well, this is a representation of an airplane. And there's going to be an airplane that's going to take refugees out of Israel into safety. And that's what it's talking about here, two wings. And I think sometimes we try a little too hard to modernize Scripture or have this. You know, and listen, maybe I'm wrong, but we try sometimes to say, well, you know, this is what this is looking ahead to. To American Airlines flying people out of Israel, which I don't think American Airlines would do that. But anyways, something like that. Well, the Bible says in Exodus 19:4, again, talking about Egypt, It says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you out myself. Exodus 19:4. The Lord is going to protect them, and the Lord is going to take them out. He refers to it back in Egypt. Do you think that the children of Israel got on a plane to leave Egypt? No, it tells us they marched. They walked out. How are they going to flee here? Some will drive. Some will run. Maybe some will fly. I don't know. But the eagle's wings that are being mentioned, I wholeheartedly believe, is just simply God. Why? Because we talked about this before. Revelation is all about God. It's not about Israel. It's not about the tribulation period. It's not about the rapture. It's not about all these things. It's about God. It includes all those things, but it's about God. And God says here to us, teaching us and telling us that the woman, Israel, are going to be given two wings of a great eagle, just like in Exodus 19:4, when he says, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you out, God says, myself. Moses didn't bring people out of Egypt. He didn't. He led the way. He was the one in the front of the line. But who was he following? He was following God. Moses could not have done any of the things that he did without God's help. And God could have done that with any other person other than Moses. God chose Moses. God used Moses. But God's the one who brought Israel out of Egypt. And God is the one who will take Israel out of this land during this time. And it says here that they are going to be nourished. It says they go into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So God will, again, care for his people in the wilderness. Now there's all kinds of, I say all kinds, there are differing philosophies on what he means by the wilderness. Is it the same wilderness? Is it a different wilderness? Is it places that they've been currently? Is it a certain city? And there's a lot of assumptions on where it could be, and probably rightfully so. But again, I don't think it's that important because God doesn't tell us exactly here in this passage. But what he does tell us is, listen, persecution is going to come. The woman is going to be persecuted. Israel is going to be persecuted. And I'm going to deliver as they go into the wilderness and nourish and take care of and provide for my people in the wilderness. It says in verse number 16, and the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. God is going to protect. God has used miraculous ways to protect his people, not just Israel, his children as well. God has used miraculous ways to protect his people. And he says here, again, if you go back to the Exodus out of Egypt, and you see how God used water in the Red Sea, he split it. The Jordan, he split so they'd come into the Promised Land. He had water come from a rock a couple times. He had bitter water that he made clean. And here in Revelation, we see water again. The dragon is going to cast out a flood out of his mouth, and the earth is going to open up and swallow the flood. God's going to take care of it. He's going to protect it. You say, well, Pastor, what exactly does that mean? I don't know. What I do know is that God's going to protect, and he's going to care for, and he's going to provide. And we see some triumph in verse number 17. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right. Just like in all of history, when persecution comes because of faith in God spreads. They carry the testimony of Jesus Christ as they go into the wilderness and as they flee and as they disperse. Guess what? They carry with them the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, Satan is going to make war against this remnant of Israel, but they are going to go and they are going to go with the testimony of Jesus Christ, and they're going to spread the testimony of Jesus Christ. You just look throughout history, and that's all that persecution ever does. You can look at different examples throughout times that we read about in Scripture and also that we just know about through history. Anytime someone tried to get God out of society, it ended up dispersing God throughout multiple societies. And the same is going to be true during this tribulation time as well. As the remnant is being attacked, as the woman, Israel, is being persecuted, it's going to cause dispersion. And with dispersion, the testimony of Jesus Christ is carried along with them. And we continue to see all throughout history, until the Lord's final return, Armageddon, until that time frame, we see the gospel as relevant and as being there and as available until that time comes, until God takes sin and wipes it off the earth. And it's not going to change in that dreadful tribulation period. The gospel is still alive and well, and it is still active. How many will receive? We don't know. It'll be a trying time for anyone who accepts the gospel. It'll be hard. You and I, we don't even grasp what that means. Their lives will be in danger. But we see it is the gospel being spread as a result of an attack on Israel. When I think of Israel, I don't think of Christianity today, in today's day and time. Meaning, Israel, if you've met an active, I'll use the word practicing Jew, they're not usually in Bible-believing churches. And I look and I read through this and I think, my goodness, the revival that's going to come, the understanding that's going to come, the conviction that's going to come, the receiving of who God is that's going to come, sure looks amazing. I don't know how it works. I don't know when it happens. I don't know all the details behind it. But what I do see is, again, something that I was not taught growing up, I see that the tribulation period, while it affects anyone who believes in God, and it'll be hard on anyone who believes in God, it's a direct attack by Satan to God's chosen people, Israel. And he's going to come after them hard. And the Bible tells us, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because he realizes, my time is almost up. We're going to look at get into the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. And we'll look at a lamb in a couple of weeks as well. And lots of things going on here in chapter 13. That tie back to especially Daniel 7. If you go back into Daniel 7 and read some, you'll see some of the prophecy there given to us as well. But we'll look at that starting hopefully next week. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the lesson that you give. Lord, the warnings that you provide. But just the ability to look at you and understand who you are. You are someone who loves. You're a God who cares. You're a God who provides. And you're a God who protects. And Lord, I pray that we would understand that, grasp that, Lord, and apply that into our lives to serve you better, to follow you more. Lord, I pray that you would just prepare our hearts and our minds and our actions, Lord, to follow you, and that we would understand that we do have great freedom. We are blessed, especially in this country. Lord, that we would be using our freedoms appropriately, Lord, to get the gospel wherever we can. So, Lord, help us. Help us to be what we ought to be. Help us to use your word to give us more motivation to follow you. And, Lord, may we understand the urgency in the time that we have on this earth. So help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You can take out your prayer lists if you got them.